talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show broadcasts every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of our shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. LATalkRadio.com. If you're listening to us live, you're already there. So go at the top of the website, click the link that says Channel 1. You scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, which is Question Reality, and just click the link. And that takes you directly to our archive page. And there you can view a list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go, all of our shows from 2008. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you want to go to our official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And remember, we are currently casting for the 2012 season, so if you are a professional working in entertainment or you know someone that could help people in the entertainment industry, such as the guests that we have today, please email us, give us a call, and we would love to consider having you on the show. You do not have to be in California to be on the show. We do remote shows with people all over the world, such as, again, the person that we have on today. She is currently in Australia. So remote shows are fantastic. We welcome them. We love you. The further away you are from me, the better. I love it. Today, so let's get to the guest today. We are lucky to have Charity Parrish. Love that name. That is a star name if I've ever heard one. Charity Parrish, she is a clinical psychologist, and she is all the way over in one of my favorite countries, especially since it hosts the Australian Open. She is in Australia, and she is going to be with us today. If you want to check out her website briefly while I go over the bread and butter aspect of the show, which is the advertisement, you can check out her website. It is newpsychology.com.au for Australia. Again, that's newpsychology.com.au. And you can be reading all about Miss Charity Parrish while we talk about this lovely, lovely class that we have coming up. Now, this is an exciting little class on Sunday, February 12th at 1 p.m. Get your, I don't know why I don't start the show off saying this, get your pens and papers out or your notepads or however you write things down, because at the start of every show, we give out information such as casting classes, casting workshops, acting classes, new casting directors, talent managers, et cetera, et cetera. So anything related to how you can improve yourself, we give out at least one advertisement for them. So if you're a person that is a casting director and you have some wonderful classes that are legitimate, legitimate classes, no scams, people, oh gosh, you know, in Hollywood, for you people who are not out here, Hollywood does hold well, they are host to some people who are not the most legitimate. So you really have to confirm everything. You have to check everything out. You have to do your research, and you have to do a word by really word of mouth before you come out here. So I make sure that I do a lot of research on the people before I advertise them, because we do not do people who are scam artists here. So back to the advertisement. Sunday, February 12th, 1 p.m., $50. Let me give you the number right off. Write it down. Just don't know if you're interested or not, but just write it down. 310-497-5621. 310-497-5621 for more information. And that is for the casting workout, which is sponsored by the Exposure Studio. And this is specifically for right now is we're about to have what's called pilot season. So you want to get ready for pilot season in many, many ways. You want to update your headshots. You want to get ready for the casting director workshops. So this is what you need to prepare for. So let's see. The calendar will be up next week. I think they're going to be casting some really good ones. But this particular workshop is going to be with Annie Avitan. It depends. And she is the casting director with The Closer. She's with Bruce Newberg Casting. And Annie will help you to find an agent for sure. She is going to give one-on-one feedback, which is really good because a lot of times you go to the casting workshops and you kind of do your, you get up there, you do your scene, and then they kind of give you feedback while you're still up there. But if you're lucky, you can get a casting director that'll give you one-on-one feedback, which is what you really, really want. So she also answers all questions that you have. So you want to try to find out why you're not working if you're not working, and she will tell you the truth. She is a must-see casting director. I have not personally gone to her or seen her, but I've had about four actors tell me she is definitely a must-see and that they've gotten a lot out of the casting director workshops. She shares all of her notes for you on any casting situation that you have, and she's not just limiting it to a couple questions. She will just, if you have five questions, she'll answer them. Whereas a lot of times when you go to these classes, you don't want to ask more than like two, because there's so many people that are always so intense when it comes to questions. If you ask more than two, they really give you the evil eye. So she's really cool and welcomes questions. She's an associate, again, with Bruce Newberg Casting, and she is the point person for the hit drama for TNT called The Closer, which has been on for seven seasons. She's just so actor-friendly, and she loves, loves, loves discovering talent, and she does everything in her power to help get the actors going in the right direction. So I have heard wonderful things about her, and she is someone to see. So check her out, and you want to take your new headshots. Hopefully you've gotten them already before January, but if not, go out and get them and take them with you. And again, it's Sunday, February 12th, 1 p.m., and it's only $50. That's about the average price. You're going to pay about $40 to $50. Sometimes you'll find a casting director workshop for $35 to $39. But on average, if you're going to take a legitimate workshop with someone who's casting top shows, you can be prepared to spend minimum $50 or up. It just depends. But $50 is about average. So there you go. Check it out. Again, Sunday, February 12th, 1 p.m. Era, call 310-497-5621, or check out the casting workout, and you can Google that, and they are sponsored by the Exposure Studio. So check it out and send me an email and let me know if it is as wonderful of an experience as I have been told. So there you go. Now let's talk about our guest today, Charity Parrish. Again, she is a clinical psychologist, and she holds professional registration with the Psychological Board of Australia and the Australian She has so many credits. I had to cut them down. It was like a dictionary. She's just so credentialed. She holds a professional registration with the Psychological Board of Australia and the Australian Psychological Society. She's a member of the Golden Key National Honor Society in recognition of her academic achievements. And Charity has been employed as a clinical psychologist for the Department of Education and Children's Services. She's consulted privately as a speech therapist with autistic children and worked as a care worker for the Intellectual Disability Service Council. And Charity Parrish loves to do live counseling, sort of like what I do every week at Sunday. I like to consider myself as doing live counseling, but she does it a lot better with more serious issues than I do. But she offers live counseling from the comfort of your own home. Now, that is fantastic. As we move towards a more non-social society, people just like to do things that are from their home. There's more teleworking happening in the world today, and you can get a live counseling session from, you can be in your damn drawers and have a cocktail and be half drunk and call somebody up for counseling these days. It's just crazy what you can do. Hopefully by the end of the session, you won't want to drink anymore, I would imagine. You may opt also for a face-to-face counseling service. She does it through Skype, or she speaks to you personally by telephone. And again, everything is totally private and confidential. So I think it's wild that you can actually do a counseling service over the phone or via Skype these days. That is just super cool. Now, not a lot of people offer those services. They like the one-on-one, and they won't even consider that. So that's why I thought it was really cool to have her on the show, because a lot of people would love to have that here, especially people who are very busy and on the go. So today we are going to talk about how to get in the right frame of mind to pursue your dream career and how to unblock the negative thinking and handling rejection. And of course, you know, as an actor, you have to deal with a lot of rejection on a daily basis. And no matter how tough you are, you sometimes don't feel like you can go on. You that defeatist attitude creeps up. So hopefully Charity can tell us today how we can handle that and get in the right frame of mind and go, 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 and be our own little cheerleader. So without further ado, let's welcome Charity Parrish. Charity, are you here, or have you fallen asleep with all of my yakking?
Hello, I'm definitely here. I'm listening. It's I'm absolutely here, live from Adelaide, South Australia. Happy to be with you.
Oh, I love that accent. I bet you just woo the man right and left with that accent.
Oh, that's so sweet. It's a bit of a mixture, because I'm from England originally, so it's a little bit of a mixture.
You know, I heard that. I heard a little bit, but it's, you know, with the Australian and English accent, you really have to listen closely if it was someone who was from England and then migrated, because then you're thinking, is she from England? Is she from Australia? You have more. Well,
it's really funny, because people in Australia think I'm from England. People in England think I'm from Australia. So it's just got to be a mix, so that's okay.
Since I've been dealing with watching, I'm a tennis fan for all of you who don't know, and I've just been watching the Australian Open, and I have been hearing such the accent so much that you definitely sound Australian to me today. So, I'm going to go all Australian, 100% Australian girl. Now, let me ask you a question. You said you're from England. What brought you to Australia from England? Let's start from the beginning. First of all,
okay.
What did you want to do when you were a little Charity Parrish, when you were a little tiny girl?
A little Charity. Well, you know, when I was in England, I used to watch Home and Away and Neighbours and all those kangaroos and wallabies. And I thought, Australia looks so much fun. They're all surfing and swimming. And I just thought, it looks like such a funny place, like so much fun. And we had relatives over here. So sort of the family, we all came over, you know? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
For so that surfy lifestyle, yeah.
Well, what did you want to do when you were little? Did you always want to be a clinical psychologist, or did you want to do something else?
Well, it was always between being a psychologist and being an air hostess.
Wow. That's
I love to travel.
One extreme to the other, right? You're still in kind of the service industry, right?
Absolutely. Well, I sort of almost get to combine it because I do a lot of traveling these days because I've been, you know, doing some workshops and things. So I get to travel and do my psychology. But, you know, on the flight, I just can sit there and enjoy myself. I don't have to actually work. So that's good.
Well, yeah, for sure. So when you were little and you wanted to be, so you're kind of one of those people that knew what they wanted to do pretty much as a child. And what do you feel were the necessary steps that it took to get there to the point where you feel that your services are being used and are in demand? Because I hear you're a really hot clinical psychologist on the move, right? So what did it take to get you to the point where you're having your dream career right now?
Well, isn't it interesting? Because I think, you know, as a child, you start with ideas. And for me, I was just thinking, you know, I'm always interested in people and I'd love to work with people. And, you know, what makes them tick and how do you motivate people? And just always fascinated. And that just developed and developed. And I was so focused on want to be a psychologist. And it was like, that's what I'm going to do. There's no questioning. After I sort of thought, well, air hostesses have to work too hard.
And I
just was so determined. And yeah.
So you just went. The typical route, you finished school and you just got your degree and you just went to it and you did ABC 1, 2, 3 and you got to where you wanted to be, right?
I guess so. I mean, with psychology, it's quite a clear path that you have to take to actually qualify and practice. I mean, it's a long journey and there's so many blocks. It's really hard to sort of get in just because so many people want to do psychology. So to actually get into the first degree, then to get into the honours, then to do the master's. So there's like a clear path. And I sort of separated it up with a lot of different jobs in between and traveling in between and a year off here and there and, you know, sort of took my time with it. But having a goal in mind, knowing I want to be qualified and with that career, the clear path that you take, you have to do one degree and then you do the next. And then you've got to do, you know, after you finish, you've got to do your points to get your clinical college recognition. And so it's just sort of following those steps and just having a focus in the future. So a goal that you're going for, but then also just having that belief in yourself and, you know, reminding myself, wow, I really want to do this. You know, people come and say to me constantly, we're like, you never get in. It's too hard. Why do you want to do that? You know, it's 6 years at university. What are you thinking? But I thought, no, it's what I want to do. So I think coming back to, you know, what you really believe in yourself, what you want to do, and just focusing and just going for it.
Now, a lot of times we as people in the entertainment industry, I would imagine you have patients that are in the entertainment industry in some degree, maybe. Yeah, I would imagine that's why we're having you on the show.
But that's right. I've got to keep confidential, though.
No, we can't tell who.
That's right.
Well, how does one, say you're pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, it's a very, very, very hard path. How do you get in the right frame of mind to pursue your career? Because to even get started these days, a person is overwhelmed with knowing what to do, that you hear a lot of different things to do. How do you put yourself in a right frame of mind to pursue it? And once you do, how do you stay focused and positive and upbeat? And when you go in and you get those rejections that you get by people, when you get rejected at an audition, the right way to handle it in the dream world is to say, oh, well, I just wasn't what they're looking for. Next. But you take it personal. It's a very sensitive field, highly sensitive. And you're working with people who are artists and creative people, and they tend to not take rejection well. So tell us how you handle that.
It's pretty difficult. I can imagine the level of rejection will be so high that there's different ways to look at that. So certainly to start with, always check that monologue. You know, we've all got this monologue going over in our head. Oh, I wasn't good enough. I didn't do that well enough. And da 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 da. Always check that and really be quite strict with yourself. So notice what you're telling yourself mentally. And just be fair to yourself. As humans, we tend to be very hard on ourselves, and I'm sort of almost like negatively biased against ourselves. You know, I didn't get that because I wasn't good enough or whatever. So really have a look at that and question it, and just be fair to yourself and say, well, hang on a minute, there was like 100 other people, and, you know, 90 of them had done more work experience than me. So, you know, it was quite a slim chance of me getting it anyway. But hey, it was a fantastic experience because we learn from all our experiences. So looking at it as a learning experience, checking that monologue, everything we go through in our mind, because we do tend to be very hard on ourselves. We're actually fairer on other people, which is really, really quite cruel. We've got this sort of negative bias in our thinking where if somebody else does well at something, we're more likely to put it down to their personality and attributes. But if we do well, we're more likely to put it down to good luck. So we really are quite unfair on us, you know, hard on ourselves. So be fair on yourself. You know, look at it objectively. There was a lot of people that went for that interview, went for that the selection process there. And just trying to be kind to yourself, at least as kind as you would to one of your friends. It's a good way to do that if you project it out and say, well, if one of my friends went for that interview, what would I say to them? You know, they didn't make that audition. But hang on a minute, you know, there was 50 other people that had done more training. So looking at it that way, then looking at it as a learning experience, seeing if you can get some feedback. Is there an area you can improve on?
Because people have to realize that you really should consider, along with your headshots that you need and your casting director workshops that you need and the agent that you need, that you should also have some sort of a therapist, right? Because you do need someone to be sort of objective in helping you get through the things that you need to get through, which this is a field which you can tend to really get down on yourself, not intentionally, and no matter how positive you try to be, because this is a field where, imagine that the first thing a person is going to even consider bringing you in for is your physical look, your cast from headshots. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people get very sensitive about that if they're not character actors. Character actors, I think, deal with it a little tad bit better than people who are going out for roles as principals, because they really say, oh, I didn't get cast. And then they're running to Beverly Hills and getting their face lifted and things cropped and nipped and tucked and everything, and you should just leave yourself alone. It's a very sensitive thing when you are being cast and judged off of a picture, and that is where a lot of self-deprecation comes in, low self-esteem. I mean, it can beat you down after you've been here for a while. How do you find yourself? How can you become okay with the way you look and say, oh my God, well, I'm not being cast for principal roles. It's not because of the way I look. It's that they just don't need someone with this look. But next time I might get cast for a part that I'm perfect for. How do we tell the actors that and make them understand?
I could see that would be an issue, and that you could get into a cycle there. And, you know, people have told me where they're sort of going for the next surgery, thinking I don't look good enough, and it's a continual sort of process. So certainly trying to be out of that process, because I think, you know, they are looking for every casting. They're after a certain look, and it's not that you're particularly not good looking enough, but just for that particular part, it wasn't what they were wanting. You know, for people wanting, they want people with different looks for every kind of movie, everything that's happening. So certainly trying not to be too hard on yourself. Having a good friend, or certainly, you know, somebody to talk to about these rejections. I sort of worry when people sit on their own, you know, going over and over about, oh, I just didn't get that because of, you know, the way I look. Or so again, being hard on yourself. And if you sit and think too much when you're tired or you haven't got another person to bounce this, you know, the feedback off, it can get quite dangerous. That's when people tend to get quite down. So certainly, if they've got a good friend to talk to, or the counselling side of it, because you can get that objective opinion.
Exactly. I I highly recommend that if you can find a therapist that may work on a sliding scale situation or however you can work it out, I always say have a therapist in your pocket. Have a therapist on speed dial. And a lot of people say, how do I know if I need therapy? And I say, life is a marathon. It is not a sprint,
yeah,
honey.
Absolutely.
You know, and even the most well-adjusted and usually content individuals with themselves are going to face challenges and roadblocks in life that are going to possibly feel insurmountable. No one's that confident. I mean, or you'd be alien maybe, or you'd be Spock. It just doesn't happen. So I think therapy provides a safe space so that you can identify, right, and focus on the issues that are causing you distress. And who better to talk to than a therapist? Because a therapy differs from time spent with a friend, though, because our time together or not our time, I'm not a therapist, but your time with the therapist is truly yours. And with a friend, they may be thinking, oh my God, I've got something to do. I've got to be somewhere. And I don't know if you've
experienced this. That's so true. And also with friends, we tend to think, oh, well, they're just saying that because they're my friends.
Right. Yeah. And you can't really trust all the time that they're going to be critical with you because they're not going to want to hurt your feelings. I don't know, out here you have what's called frenemies, so you never know what the hell you're getting as a friend out here.
Well, it's kind
of a drop and roll situation. But with a therapist, the interview, I think that the environment is more non-judgmental and unbiased. Of course, we as humans, we are not without judgment. I mean, a lot of people, you know, some people get so upset when they're called judgmental. And I don't know why people get upset at being called judgmental, because everybody on the face of the earth, if they're human, even if they're animal or insect, they make a judgment on something. You make a judgment
every day. It's actually how we make sense of the world. Our brain is sort of programmed to organize information. You know, so if you meet somebody, like you might meet somebody from Australia and you think, oh, wow, the tennis, but we sort of immediately make these associations. So it's not always bad. You know, we've got to order the world somehow. We've got all this chaos and information coming in. So it helps us kind of organize things. So you get that first thought coming in, like you might meet somebody from France and think they like certain foods or, you know, things like that. But then the trick is to then go and have a look at a second line of thinking and say, well, hang on a minute, let's meet that person, let's find out, and looking at the other side. So you sort of get those first judgments and then question it.
Exactly. And it's really great that you as a friend can be relieved. You should recommend therapy to a friend who's coming to you too much with their problems, because you can relieve yourself from being responsible for balancing the conversation by throwing them to someone who's more credentialed than you are, because if you give them bad advice, you're going to get the blame, right?
And it can affect the friendship, definitely.
Yeah, if you're too critical, there you go. You're not my friend. You're jealous. You don't understand. There's a whole bunch of things. And if you sugarcoat things, then they learn to not trust your opinion. So a therapist really helps to balance that by taking care of another person's feelings and needs by providing it, I would imagine, in a more clinical way, right?
Absolutely, and in a non-judgmental, non-biased way. And again, if you've got a friend who's coming to you all the time, it can be a lot of pressure and stress on that person. So you sort of take that on, and then, who can you talk to? I mean, it's okay with a friendship if it's quite even. But if it just tends to be more one-sided, if somebody's coming to you all the time, definitely get them referred to somebody who they can speak to privately, confidentially.
And actors, people in the entertainment business tend to be a little bit more self-involved than...
I think they kind of have to be.
They're a little more me, 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 I, what is it about me? And you say how a person may think, how can therapy help me, right? And psychotherapy, any type of therapy can help in many ways, right? You provide support, problem solving skills.
Yep, support, solution focuses, definitely new ideas. And often that can be part of the benefit, just speaking to somebody completely neutral who can say, well, hang on a minute, have you looked at it this way? And give them, you know, new ideas, fresh ideas.
Right.
Yeah, that's certainly important. Mm.
And also coping strategies, right? Because
definitely.
A lot of people, I mean, emotions are really running high and mighty, I'm going to say, with actors. And I think that the therapist provides coping strategies for issues that you have, like anxiety, trauma, depression, right? Grief.
Yeah, absolutely. Stress, anger. You know, you might do an audition and be thinking, oh, that went really well, and then you don't get it, and you've got this anger, and it's like, what to do with the anger? So some strategies to help you process and clear that, definitely.
And body image issues, which really is a situation out here, Charity. I mean...
Well, it seems to be getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but when I see the media and everything, the pressure, and I'm seeing it on... I get, you know, there's people I talk to, and they're concerned about their children now. So, you know, girls as young as 5 or 6 thinking they're fat, and not eating, and so it's really having a global impact. It's quite scary, really.
It really is. And it, not only can it help you if you're pursuing a career in as an actor or model or dancer, musician, etc., but you may be fine in that area, but you may have problems in your personal area. And therapists can help you manage personal growth, your marital issues, because a lot of times you can go in an audition, you've just had a fight with your husband or wife or whomever you had a fight with. It can really affect your audition and cause you not to get the job.
Yeah, so ways to kind of segment that and process it. And there's lots of little tricks and things that people can do. And we can go over some of those later if you like.
We want to go over all the tips.
You want all the tips? Okay,
yes,
no, definitely,
yes,
definitely.
Let's get into it.
Absolutely.
Say, for example, you have to go to an audition and you've just gotten into a fight with a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend. What is something that you can do to block that out so that you can focus on the audition?
Okay, there's a couple of different ways to handle that. I mean, one is always just taking a deep breath before you start to do anything. That's really important. And then also looking at, you know, that spouse probably didn't do that on purpose, because often, you know, people will sort of hold, well, oh, they've got no idea how important this is for me today, and they just brought that up this morning, and it's really annoying. So just putting a stop on those thoughts and going, hang on a minute, they probably didn't mean it like that. It's just bad timing. And then one of the most important things is to segment thinking. So you actually put that on hold. So you say, right, that was upsetting, but I'm going to think about that later, and actually specify a time. So if the audition's, you know, 4 to 5, you say, right, at 5:30, I'm going to think about that argument I had this morning, then I'll decide what to do. So you literally segment it. And if you want to do some imagery with that, you can imagine popping it in a suitcase, and I'm going to open that suitcase later, you know, if you're a sort of an imagery kind of person. But just putting a mental note and say, look, I'm going to think about that 5:30. That actually works quite well, very effective. Mm.
I like that.
Yeah, it works well.
Because when you're really mad, you want to talk about it.
That's
women
right.
than
So you literally put it on hold, yeah.
Right, you want to talk about it right then and there, and you want to battle it out. But
which is never the time to do it, because the emotions are high, and it never gets better to just save it till later.
Yeah, that's really good. Harder said than done, I would imagine, when you are in a scrape match, but... I guess you got to get there, right? And a therapist.
Well, it's a different kind of training. You actually learn sort of how to do that. You learn ways to do that, and you become it becomes easier to kind of organize your thinking. You know, like you organize your laundry or that kind of thing. It just makes it easy.
So true. And you know, I had to write some steps down. I have so many friends that are psychologists, and my best friend is a psychiatrist in New York. She actually has a lot of clients that are directors and producers on Broadway. So she gave me like 5 steps. So every time I'm about to get into it, or my husband and I are about to have a fight, I whip out my paper and I go through my 5 steps. But it's so hard to follow because I want to make a point right then and there. But you've got to go through the process. Therapy is no different from any other process. You get what you give. So the benefits that you obtain from therapy kind of depend on the effort or the work, right? As someone
absolutely heard. Work put in is work that comes out, but I mean
it's really hard because when you want to fight, absolutely. You want to fight.
Definitely. Look. I mean, there could be a whole lot of different things going on there, but I mean, a key tip is if you're talking to your partner, and it's normally the our loved ones that kind of get it. but if the emotions get elevated, and you notice the volume of voice, it's a fascinating thing. But as sort of the voice goes up in steps, and it gets louder and louder and louder, until people end up kind of screaming at each other, and they don't even kind of remember what started it. So a good tip is to try and just notice your voice, and if your partner's voice level goes up, keep yours down. And it's really interesting. It works so well.
It really does, because men do not relate well. Most men, I'm not going to say all men, because when you got I have a lot of Italians in my family, and a lot of Irish. I'm Irish, so they tend to have the natural yelling that kind of goes with being
absolutely
Italian.
Absolutely, bit cultural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very cultural thing. But men by nature, even if they're the ones to start yelling, they don't like the sound of a female yelling. It's instinctual that they just automatically go to the man cave as soon as there's too much yelling that occurs. So they just shut down and they don't even hear you anymore. So.
Well, that's true. It's quite funny, but the louder you actually shout, the less is heard.
Right.
Until you get to screeching. So people think they're being heard better, but the other person tends to just block off and shut down. Yeah, as you say, they shut down, they walk away. So best to not let it get to that level.
That's right. And a lot of young people don't know that. They think they scream, they're going to be heard. But again, you got to put these steps will work if you put in the time, because again, it is effort. It is work, like with everything. So you have to be patient. A lot of people start going to therapists, and if they don't get results immediately, they just feel they're wasting their time, money, more so money than time, because in this day and age, people really are concerned about money. So how can you as a therapist kind of make people, because it is really on high demand. They want it when they walk out of there, they want to feel some results and some benefits of therapy. So do you have a special technique that you kind of can get them working on something to improve their situation right away? What do you do?
Yeah, I guess the kind of psychology I do is a little bit different. I sort of call it a new psychology, because it tends to be quite quick and easy. So it's not the traditional talking for years and psychoanalyzing every little thing they've ever been through. It's more to do with getting them to focus on where they are now, moving forward. And, we can do, there's lots of different things, imagery work. And I tend to do some stuff to do with the childhood, where they might just need one session, and it tends to clear things that have affected them in childhood that have sort of knocked the confidence. You're saying about body image and, that they didn't think they looked good enough, things like this. Well, that is something that tends to affect, 99% of people. And I find if I do one session where I take people back and we just sort of clear, there might have been something that happened in the past. It could have been more recent, like a, motor vehicle accident or something. Or it could go right back to childhood. Yeah, you just do one session, clearing that seems to make a massive difference for people. People say, wow, I just feel more confident. Or, it's a really interesting work. I mean, as students, we had to practice all these techniques on each other. And, we're all like, we've got nothing, And we all found something, even if it was quite minor, a little time at childhood, we felt a bit shy or something. And, it cleared that. And it's, for me, it helped me with public speaking. I used to hate it, but now I love it.
Well, you are absolutely right about the repression issues. A lot of people do not realize that they have repressed so many memories. And I'm all about going to a hypnotist, but you got to find a legitimate one, because a lot of them are a little artists.
Yeah, see, I don't do the deep level hypnotherapy stuff.
Oh.
But some people like it. But for me, it's more just like imagery stuff, because, they just close their eyes, do some breath work, some getting into feelings, and it actually shifts it pretty well. Yeah, I tend to find from my experience, people haven't really wanted to do the hypnotherapy. They're worried they're going to be dancing on a table dressed like a chicken or something.
Right. I yeah. And some people just can't be hypnotized. But yeah, you don't, in this day and age, you don't want to be roofied while under a hypnotist, and you never know what you're getting. So, and they don't let someone come in with you, so you never know what's going on in there. You could be getting fondled and felt up over and everything.
No, we're not allowed to do that. We've got our code of ethics.
Yeah, you never know. Over here,
that's true.
Now, a therapist, a lot of people say, what benefits can I expect from working with a psychologist? So you're saying that people who take sessions with you, whether through Skype or online or come to see you, that they're pretty much going to walk out of there feeling that you have been able to provide insight into their life's challenges and that you have been able to help create solutions to their difficult problems, correct? You're going to be able to do something with
Absolutely.
This new psychology. What is this new psychology? Is it just what is it more?
Well, I mean, I've basically, I think, because I've done all the traditional psychology training, but I've also, you know, done quite a lot of spiritual type training, you know, I used to be sort of into Buddhism, and I went to India and met the Dalai Lama and, you know, things like that. So I've had quite a varied experiences, you know, with my own training. So I've sort of taken all the little best bits of everything I've learned, put it all together, and it's like a new sort of formula that works pretty well. And I find, you know, people are actually quite motivated to want to make some changes. It tends to work well if they've got some insight, they want to make some improvements, they've got the motivation there. You know, 99% is pretty high really, the sort of results that we see, which is good. Because that's what I enjoy most. I love it when I see change in people. You know, they come back and they're like, wow, Charity, I just feel kind of better.
Yeah.
a little bit more confident.
The bottom line is you really need a therapist, because sometimes you just having a supportive professional to listen is helpful. And overall, people in therapy, I'm not an expert, but I think from seeing it that they tend to have lower anxiety and stress levels. And I've also seen decreased conflict and overall an improved quality of life. That's what I've seen. If, again, I quote, it is a legitimate therapist and they're not these therapists that want to stretch your sessions out for 14, 15 years just to get your money.
No.
You got it.
I think the worst case of that I've seen was a lady who came to me who'd been seeing somebody for 50 years. 50 years! And I thought, what? I said, well, how's it going? I thought, this is ridiculous. But there's a very small group that will come in I see them over the internet, and they actually don't really want to go get sort of feel better. There's something else going on there. But the vast majority of people, if they want to make changes quickly, can be done, definitely. And it should be. I mean, we've got our own code of ethics. If you're seeing a client for too long, there's something else happening on unconscious levels that you need to refer them to somebody else, because it's not fair on them.
True.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, I had a situation a couple years ago where I felt uncomfortable talking to my friend about it, but she had been seeing this woman for, I think, 10 years. And woman was all up in her business, commenting on her husband's, the argument she was having with her husband, telling her she should leave him. And I mean, her to leave the husband checking his pockets and to try to get his password. And I said, this woman is legitimate, and she had certificates up and down, and she was doing this. So again, you never know, but it's just like with anything, it's not going to hurt you to go and see if that person feels comfortable for you.
Well, that's right. So yeah, see if you sort of feel a connection, or if you feel uncomfortable, then, you know, go with that intuition, and, you know, you've got the right to say, you know, I want to see somebody else, because, you know, as therapists, we've got a lot of power to sort of say, oh no, you've got to keep coming back and we'll see you next week. And, you know, I encourage people to absolutely take it into their own hands. And if they don't feel comfortable with a therapist, for whatever reason, to go to somebody else. Definitely. I recommend that.
Mm-hmm. How often do you feel that again, I understand that it has to do with the issue, but what do you think is a normal cutoff time? Again, because of the issue, but again, you can't be going to somebody for 10 years, 20 years.
No. Well, it's actually, to see somebody for that long is really, can actually be damaging because, you know, if that therapist suddenly says, oh, by the way, I'm retiring. You know, I had a client I saw the other day and she'd seen a therapist for a long, long time and they just suddenly out of the blue said they were retiring. And that was actually quite upsetting for the client because they'd formed a relationship, as in, you know, seeing this person regularly, they're always there for them and suddenly they're not. So it can be quite dangerous. That's not true. A good idea at all. Yeah, so for me personally, when I first see somebody, I normally encourage them to see them the week after. So I find one session 1 week, one the week after, and that sort of just helps to connect in, find out what the main issues are, and then a few sessions really is pretty much all. Every fortnightly tends to be about right. Fortnightly for as long as people need. That tends to work.
And if you've been going to a psychologist, therapist, psychiatrist for more than a year, I think that if you don't feel better, you need to go to someone else. I don't know.
I would say a year should be the absolute cap. Yeah. And, you know, I'd encourage people to turn around and say to their therapist, hang on a minute, you know, I've been seeing you a year and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere.
And I still feel suicidal and I'm going to take you
down.
I want you to know, doctor, that I'm taking you down when I go. So you better get
working. You're coming with me. That's right.
So I love that you have all different ways for people to see you. Tell us about the different ways if we wanted to talk to Miss Charity Parrish, which she seems like a perfectly lovely person to talk to, and I feel like telling her my problems right now.
We'll catch up on the show.
Actually, I don't have any problems, but you know, I try to create them so I stay normal. But have a couple problems now that I think about it. I'm going to have to call you. Now, what will happen when a person comes for their first appointment or sees you for the first time? Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, it sort of varies a bit by how I see them, obviously. But if it's through the website, there's a brief information page, just getting a little bit of, you know, a few details to sort of start us off. And you're contacted by, I've got a couple of staff online that help organise appointments and things. And just then you're making a decision whether people want to do the face-to-face or sometimes they don't really want to be seen. So it's more just the talking. So, you know, through Skype, we can do that. Or face-to-face in my rooms. And the first session, usually I just let people, you know, let them focus on, well, you know, what is it you want to change? What improvements do you want to make? Where are you having any difficulty? You know, what can I help you with? And we sort of set the boundaries for, you know, what's going to happen with therapy, what they want to work on. So we just start as a bit of an information session, working on the bits of information I've already got. We build on that. So that's how it starts pretty much. And then I've also do the face-to-face counselling in Adelaide and, do some workshops as well. Looking at some online group work too, so.
Oh, I love the whole Skype thing. Who the hell doesn't want to see a doctor via Skype? It's just incredible.
Well, it's just easy. You don't even have to get in your car.
I know. You don't have to drive all the way to Australia to see Miss Sarah.
That's right. It's quite a long way. I've been over there, and I know the distance is quite a way. So, and you can be sitting in your, you know, your underpants and talking to me. I recommend those sessions without the webcam.
I know. That's true. Oh, my God. Well, I wouldn't be taking on too many clients who sit in their underwear at home talking to you now, Charity.
No, but it's not that kind of service, by the way.
Exactly. I don't know. You might, with the economy, you might have to take that up on the side. Oh, my God. Well, let me see now. We are going to talk. We have 2 minutes. Can you believe 50 minutes is almost here? We have 2 minutes, and I want to talk about anything that you want to talk about. I know that you have a book coming up. Tell us about your book real quick.
Okay, sure. Well, I've got one that's published already, and that's available on my website. There's links direct through the website to, it's on lulu.com and Amazon as a Kindle. And that's basically sort of like I wrote most of that when I was in sort of a meditative kind of phase. So it's a lot of it sort of unconscious messages type thing, but kind of useful, you know, little tips for how to feel good, things like that. And I've got another book coming out soon, but certainly people keep checking my website. There's a newsletter on there, and you can also get, there's a free PDF. off called Having a Rainy Day, which basically gives ideas on how to change your mood pretty quickly. So, yeah, people can go to the website for information on my workshops coming up and newpsychology.com.au. Yeah, so just keep an eye on the website.
You have some webinars. You have some upcoming webinars?
I have, yeah, upcoming webinars as well, yes. There's quite a few different things happening, that's right. So looking at webinars and, yeah, the workshops face-to-face, which I'll be doing some in Germany and Australia throughout this year. So lots happening. Very exciting.
So if they go to newpsychology.com.au, they can find out everything there is about you, what you're doing,
That's right. Of
the workshops, everything. And you do a radio show. Is that also on there?
There's a link on there. It's a-to-zen.fm. So it's A and then the number 2, zen.fm, and that's through the internet. So that's the first Tuesday of every month, 7 p.m. Eastern time, I think. I get mixed up with my American times, but yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern, first Tuesday of the month. So, yeah. People can listen to me, yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to have to tune in, Miss
Charity.
Yeah, tune in.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think you are lovely, and I cannot believe that we have been talking 50 minutes in our time.
Time goes quick, doesn't it? Time goes quick.
Look, imagine if you talk to Charity, you'll have all your problems solved in 50 minutes. Well, maybe not, but let's just say. All right, so thank you so much, Charity. I want you to be a regular on our show. Will you come back?
I would love to come back, definitely. And if people want to call in with any questions, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
We didn't even get around. Been chatting away.
I feel so sad. I know I got three questions from the emails that I got when we announced that you were going to be on the show. And I am so sorry, everybody, that I get to the questions. So you know what? Next time, Charity, when you come on, we're going to cover those three questions and we're going to make it a live call-in show where people are going to call in and ask you how to deal with their issues. Is that okay?
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, that would be my pleasure. Absolutely. And thank you so much for today having me on. It's been great.
Thank you, Charity Parrish. Check her out at newpsychology.com.au. Say goodbye to your fans, Miss Charity Parrish.
See you later. See you next time. Thanks,
bye,
Priscilla.
Everyone.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.